title of this series is Christ the Fool. What is a Christian? And what I want to do is to in which the Bible describes a Christian. And we start this morning by saying this: a Christian is a son. A Christian is a son of God. I want to sum up this verse. Turn to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. Galatians chapter 3 verse 26. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Paul is writing there, all the believers who have the churches in Galatia. And he says, you are all sons of God. Now, this is straight away. Paul is writing to women as well as men. And he doesn't say, some of you are sons of God, and some of you are not. Just one in the New Testament where we read about that's 2 Corinthians 6:17, and that's the New Testament. Where Christians are in the name of God, the majority of passages where Christians, whether they're men or children, sons of God. Now, why is that? Testament way, all Christians alike, exactly the same of God, are absolutely the same. The children are alike, class members. As Paul does in this verse, all sons of God. Remember, daughters were members of the family. The sons of the family. Today, Paul's city. The daughters talks to the sons of the people simply go. If a woman sons for Christian, sons of God. You Christian women are sons of God. Men are not God's heirs. Men are, as Paul makes this statement, yours. The men are not to call you daughters. I might imply your second class. God's sons, men, sons of God, Christ Jesus, fully is. You can all be to God your Father. All pray to Him with confidence. All formed with the word again, verse 4, means it. All of you Christians really are sons of God. There is life in Greek. For you are in Christ Jesus. So is Christians. Christians is Christians were Christians, females, and the Lord has said, I am a son. I was as any other in fact, I'm a slave. It makes no difference to me. God loves me. He loves me as any other Christian. He loves me in fact. He has ever been a son of God. Right to the Hebrews. Even further, he says in Hebrews that all is of God's first. He says, all of God's sons in heaven. Logically speaking, you can't have first or again, they are in most parts of the world. Of the children now in this country will inherit so wanted. The Bible writer says Christian is everything. I've got that family. One. Last day with this is 3:26. Is to see three doctrines. There's three great things. First is this. Is a child a son of God? Not everyone. They say Buddhists, agnostics, God is the Father of grace. We drew it to have assembly in the morning. Come together, the Lord, your Father who art in for granted heaven, child in the school, to God and say, but it says, Paul writes, are all sons through Christ Jesus. So the way of the Son of God, faith. Faith in Christ, sons of God. Goes on to talking about as the time when faith in Christ united. You can't believe faith in Christ. And the Lord, just by being baptized, you openly Christ Jesus. This gospel is John. Jesus received to those his name, he gave the right. Children. You see, people are not children of God. And give them the children of God. For Jesus, says John, when his name they receive. So we put the general force, your people, people in general, their father, look after them, encourage everyone, and say, in heaven, believe our walls through Jesus. A very different children of iniquity calls them children of the devil. A Christian, one of was his child, was one of them. That happens when he believes in Christ. So the first truth is a child of God. The second truth, among children of God. We must believe things about Christ. Believe the people who God sent us from our sin. Believe in Christ. Believe you sent us. You know, maybe you look at this. It would be impossible for you ever to complete so much sin in your lifetime. I've broken God in so many ways. Even though maybe child of sins, for many sins, you've done selfish acts, and your heart is so sinful, you're so weak, so greedy, so selfish, but you Jesus Christ came to rescue you from your sin, that he gives you power to do everything in the moment. He really does make you a believe that you are, Christ has the power to ask for other things. And you must believe that you do it. Say, you that he's willing. The Gospels that no Jesus with any while he was here. I was there is one in the Gospels of somebody who came to me. I've got to please help. Jesus Christ said, "Son, look after." And here you are. You are needed to be as Savior. Now, if you come to Jesus, as you are, will Christ turn you? Every time you stop, and you fix, you stand on the ground, you repeat yourself into the silent to them. Stand silent and safe. You see that you come. You can't make it slower. You can't steer it. You can't fly lower. The fact that you're in the top trusting the pilot Jesus Christ put himself in his hands as complete things. Sinful person. Thank you. Loved his father. His father has been so kind that they were combined all their triumphs in themselves. Of God, holy Son of God. Four things we can be sons of God. We can approach God confidently. Because Paul carries on in verses that follow, going to chapter 4, verse 3. When we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come,
give you more trouble than they ever did when they were seven or eight. because the problems they want to bring to you are bigger problems. But you're still glad that they do come to you trustingly, confidently saying, you're going to have to sort me out. You're still glad that they feel free to approach you and to tell you about what they've been doing, the messes they've made of things. What really hurts you is when they don't come to you. What really hurts you is when they don't tell you about what's been happening, about what they've done wrong. You want your children to come confidently to you. Now look what Paul says in chapter 4, verse 6. He says, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. We are God's sons, and God has given us the Spirit of His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Himself, by His Holy Spirit, lives in us. And the Spirit of Jesus Christ in us calls out, Abba, Father. It was natural for Jesus Christ to come to God confidently because He was God's Son and always had been. Jesus Christ called God Abba, which was the Jewish way of saying, Father, my own dear Father. Or perhaps even more intimately than that, it was the Jewish way of saying, Dad. Jesus Christ called God Dad, Daddy. He came to God confidently, knowing that the Father loved him totally. He knew he could come any time and be welcome. And now, because we're united to Jesus Christ, because His Spirit is in us, it's natural for us to talk to God in just the same way. It's natural for us to come confidently to God. The Spirit calls out in us, Abba, Father, God, my Daddy. Once we were slaves. If we thought about God, if we ever tried to pray, God seemed distant and frightening. We were trying to earn God's approval by our good works. But now we've trusted Christ. We've been joined to Him. We know we're God's sons. We know that our sins have all been paid for and forgiven. We know we're as loved by God as Jesus Christ Himself is, for Christ's sake. So it's natural for us to come to God, to say to the God who controls the whole universe, Father, my dear Father, or even to call Him Dad. And we talk to Him about everything. We talk to Him about our problems and our struggles and our falls, our sins, our worries and our joys. Jesus has authorized us to come to God in this way. His disciples heard Him pray, and they said, well, please teach us to pray. And He did. And He said, start your prayers like this. Our Father, who art in heaven. Jewish people simply didn't talk to God like that. None of them would have dared to call God Father. But Jesus said to His disciples, I'm giving you the right to call God Father. And now you can talk to Him. You can talk to Him about His name and His kingdom and His will. And you can talk to Him about your need for bread. And you can talk to Him about your sins and the way other people sin against you. And you can talk to Him about your temptations and trials. You can talk to Him about everything. He's your Father. You know, if there is one thing, I believe, that Satan wants to do to Christians, it's this. He wants to break that happy intimacy between God and us, His sons. Satan hates to see Christians coming happily to God. He hates to see Christians calling God Father, feeling loved by God, talking to God confidently about everything. And so Satan will tell you that you can't possibly come to God like that. Satan will tell you you're too sinful. He'll tell you you're too cold. You don't know how to pray in the right way. He'll tell you that if you ask for the wrong thing, God will be angry with you. He'll tell you that God has to be persuaded into listening, and you're too tired to persuade him. He'll tell you God doesn't want to bless you, and it's a hard, wearisome business trying to force God into blessing you. Well, these are all Satan's lies. And you must tell Satan what a liar he is. You say to him, I've trusted Christ, and I'm trusting him now. I'm joined to Christ, and that means I'm God's son. And he loves me, and my dad is always glad to see me. And I'm entitled to talk with him. And then you turn to God and you say, Father. Or you say, my own Father who loves me. Or you say, Abba. Or you say, Daddy. You say whatever name makes you feel close to him. Never let Satan break that happy intimacy that you have with God your Father. Remember in the Lord's Prayer the words, Our Father, come first. There is a line in the Lord's Prayer which says, Forgive us our trespasses. But that's a long way down in the prayer. Satan says to you, until you have confessed all your sins adequately, until you have repented as thoroughly as you should do, you can't call God Father and be sure he loves you. But it's the other way around, isn't it? It's because you call God your Father, and it's because you're sure that he loves you, that you're able to say, Forgive me my trespasses, and to be confident. Call him your Father first. Be sure that he loves you first. Remind yourself of the price that he paid to make you his child first. And then when you've done that, it'll be easy to come and to tell him the whole shameful story of another week's sins and another week's failures, and to say, Forgive. Forgive my trespasses, Father. Well, I said there were going to be 4 points, and I said there were going to be 8 sermons. I think there are going to be 9 sermons, at least, because I want us to go through the other 3 points, God willing, next week. But I trust that what we've said will be an encouragement, a reassurance to us, if we are the children of God. Let's think.